Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the B-A-Q-A. Hey, the B-A-Q-A, what you say? The B-A-Q-A with Manday. The B-A-Q-A with Tiffany. The B-A-Q-A. Hey. Hey, Amanda, how you doing, girl?
Hello, gorgeous. Pretty in pink. Oh, we got some juicy career questions today. So, you know,
let's get this
it's an Andy show. Let's go. I'm kidding. As always, y'all, send us your questions. We love to get them. BrownAmbitionPodcast.com. You can click Ask Us Anything or slide into our DMs on IG. We are at Brown Ambition Podcast on IG. And we about to get that blue check mark because we're going to pay for it. So you won't have to be worrying about scammers or fraudsters anymore. And how else can they reach us? BrownAmbitionPodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. All right. But let's get into your questions. Tiffany, would you do the honors?
I sure will.
While I stretch and get ready.
This one is, we're going to call you Dipping My Toe. This is from IG. Hi, ladies. Love your podcast and I look forward to your show and advice every week. We love you too, girl. I have a question about using LinkedIn. I've been a teacher for a long time and finally decided to explore a different career path to make more money. Good for you. It's time for me to create a LinkedIn profile. Do I create two profiles, one for each career path, or do I design the profile toward the field with higher earning power, even though all of my experience is in the current field? I don't want my current boss to see my LinkedIn profile that promotes me in a different industry, or is that okay? Thanks for all that you do. You two are fabulous. Give me a good pseudonym. Oh, I did it, girl. Something like Dipping My Toe, and I said that, Dipping My Toe on LinkedIn. Girl, we calling you Dipping My Toe. I love that she asked for that, and I anticipated it. Honestly, I have no idea. Mandy, this is all you. So what should Dipping My Toe be?
Oh, maybe. Can we stop saying toe? It's one of my...
Okay, we'll like just say dipping. What should dipping dot do?
So this is really common. People are really afraid of putting up on their, like giving their current employer any indication that they may be looking. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that, especially if you have like an immature boss or manager or like a retaliation kind of vibe at your place where people get like, you could get punished, you can get demoted if they think that maybe you're looking elsewhere. But there are things you can do to protect your privacy and still have a LinkedIn profile. I don't necessarily think it makes sense for you to have two profiles. And the reason is, one, you don't have any, it doesn't sound like you have any experience in your new field. So what would go on that profile? And two, I wouldn't look at your education right now as a totally separate path. I think that there's so many transferable skills from being a teacher. You haven't mentioned what you want to do, which leaves me a little bit struggling to give you specific advice, but I'm leaning toward the side of set up your professional profile with your education background, study the job listings for the roles that you want, and really focus in on, as a teacher, as an educator, any of those skills that may be, you know, transferable into this new industry. And in the meantime, connect with people. You know, you set up your profile now, you start building your LinkedIn network. The whole point of LinkedIn, beyond just having like a digital resume and getting reached out to by recruiters, is to actually connect with your peers and colleagues, because you never know who could have a leg up or a way in to a new opportunity for you. And as a pivoter, it's essential. Mm-hmm. Like if you are wanting to start in a new field, why am I doing the Joker lip? What happened? Did I drink some water? Hold on, I just gotta look at my own lips. I look like the, why so serious? Hold on, let me fix this. what on the hell happened? This is bad promo for Fenty, but it's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me, Rihanna. Anyway, okay. So if you are, so remember, the whole point of LinkedIn is to connect, right? So you don't just want to have a profile, you want to connect with your peers. And as a career pivoter, entirely essential. I think too many career pivoters obsess over resumes in LinkedIn when I really want you to put, I mean, those are just facts, put up the facts of your work history, but then focus on how can you start connecting with other people and letting them know that you're open to work. And this is the part that you're probably like, wait, how do I tell them I'm open to work without my boss seeing? So you can go on LinkedIn and you can turn on your open to work setting. So if you go into your profile and you edit it, you'll see this when you're setting it up. There is a toggle, like a selection for open to work. Now you can be open to work privately, which means only people who are using LinkedIn Recruiter, which is a special paid version of LinkedIn, which recruiters and maybe some hiring managers, but mostly like HR people will be using. They can see you're open to work, but the general population of LinkedIn users, including your boss, won't be able to see that. So that's one way to protect yourself. Another thing is you can straight up block whoever you want to block on LinkedIn, you know, including your boss or colleagues, if that's, you know, what you want to do. I think that's a relatively safe thing to do, because if they're teachers, I mean, it's not saying that they may not have a connection to a role for you, but if you're really worried about retaliation or just cause like making an uncomfortable work environment for yourself, you might just want to go ahead and, you know, keep your profile private to those people. But I definitely would say, if you're like pivoting into a new industry, which it sounds like you are, you need to start looking for ways to start upskilling, looking for networking opportunities. One of my Mandy Moneymakers, I hope she doesn't mind me shouting her out, Warrena, I met her. She was one of my very first, she was in the very first cohort of Makers, school teacher in Virginia, or is it Baltimore? Shit, I forget now. Anyway, school teacher, just like classic school teacher, burnt out by the pandemic, you know, just dealing with a really, really difficult situation, you know, in a working environment, really not feeling like she was on the right path, and really desperately wanted to break into tech. And she just, and this is, I feel like a realistic timeline, she just a couple of months ago secured her first job in tech. And Warrena, yes. And Warrena did everything right. You know, she ended up switching teaching jobs even as she was on her journey to pivoting in tech, because she wanted to get out of a toxic situation. And she ended up getting a 16K raise when she switched. So, but even on that journey, she went to, you know, Afrotech has great tech focused conferences in all different cities. She would go to those events. She found, I feel like every other month on LinkedIn, Warrena would be at some sort of women in tech networking event and just continuing to tell people, I'm an educator now, I really want to roll in tech, and ended up finally breaking in. So that work, the sooner you start that connection work, which is the hard part, LinkedIn is easy, babes, don't get stuck here, the better, especially if you're pivoting into a new role. Hopefully that answers your question. I can't think of anything else I missed, but welcome. Get on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
don't
I love
let
that.
It psych
like,
you out.
I think to your point, I think a lot of people think LinkedIn is just about someone's going to hire me. But no, I can't tell you how many people, you know, dip and dot that just hit me up after they've heard me speak somewhere. And they're like, hey, just want to stay connected and see what you're up to. And so it's just a really good place to just kind of stay connected. And from there, you know, oftentimes I've gotten offers to speak or to do something else just from just like staying connected and checking in on people that I'm connected to on LinkedIn. So don't just think of that, like to Mandy's point, you know, that it's just a tool for someone to hire you. It's also to connect with other people in the space, because typically people like to ask other people, do you know someone for this role or who might be good at this, who might, you know, that's why I get a lot of my really great people. Because if someone is great, I hope they know other great people too. And the only one to be known to know what people are up to is to stay connected. So that's my little 1-2 for you, Dip and Dot. But yes, teacher, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to speak a little life into you, Dip and Dot. The fact that you're a teacher, just know that means you are a freaking superhero. Okay, sis? Yes. Let me tell you. Because people always ask me, what's the secret sauce behind, you know, the Budgetista success and Literature Academy success and such. And I promise you, it's from that classroom. Because you learn to be a leader, you learn to be a public speaker, you learn to be a negotiator, you learn, you know, to connect with your students, but also their parents and the administration at the same damn time. You learn how to take people from a place of no knowledge to knowledge while also maintaining order. There's nothing you don't learn. You're the nurse, you're the janitor. You know, you're the mama, you're the daddy, you're the... So, I mean, I just want to encourage you to know that I don't care, because I taught preschool, so I don't care what age that you've taught. If you've taught, that there are so many skill sets that you can, that you're going to be able to tap into, that you might even realize how helpful that is. So, you know, I just commend you and applaud you and just give you that boost of just affirmation that you're a badass because you are a teacher. Okay. Yes. Oh, you want to take a quick break, Mandra, for our next question?
Yes, we'll take a quick breaky break and be right back with BA Q&A. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply. Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
All right, BA fam, we are back with another juicy, juicy career question. This one's going to be fun because it talks about negotiating, which is my, I start panting and getting excited.
You know, I'm going to read it because this is really like Mandy's like wheelhouse. So I'm like, that's like my full accept. Like, let me read it so Mandy can
put me in, coach. Put me in, coach.
All right.
What's Nelly got to say?
Right. So this is from Nelly from IG. Hi, Mandy. Hope you're well. Girl, I'm here too. But that's okay.
Because Mandy, oh, stop. Everyone's always like, hey, Tiffany, and that girl.
I'm just teasing one. Because you know best that this is a Mandy question. But either way, hey, girl, I'm just saying hi. Question. I'm looking to interview very soon for a new opportunity at my current company, different department. It would be a promotion, and I have most of the required skills, plus finished my master's in 2021. Go ahead, girl. How can I go about getting the absolute max amount of money since they have access to my salary history? FYI, the range is up to 156K, and I'm at 123 currently. They require a salary expectation entry. When I applied, I said 150 just in case they negotiated me down. Let me know if you have any tips. Loving everything you're doing. Thanks, Nelly. This is a good question.
What I want to start singing Hot in Here, I don't know why. Just
have the urge. No, no, let's do it. It's getting hot in here. So make sure you get all your coins.
Oh, okay.
Right.
We negotiating. No, that doesn't work as a rhyme. Okay. This is delete that. Anyway, listen, Nelly, first of all, congratulations, because I feel like this is a really exciting opportunity, and to work at a company where you can apply to another department is awesome. And I feel like when people think about quitting a role for a new opportunity, you sometimes think like you have to go outside the company. But I'm a huge fan of pivoting in place. Like, that's what I call it when you find a growth opportunity right where you are. Mm-hmm. And your mindset is really important here. And this is a thing where you know what you make, and you're kind of letting that kind of get to you a little bit. I would treat this new department like another company. So anything that you would do if you were interviewing for an outside company, I would do. You know, I would go in there strong and establish, you know, your credentials and how excited you are for the opportunity. You've already mentioned a salary. At least it was sort of at the top of the range. You mentioned 150. I typically would have said, you know, put competitive, or put zero, or put $1, whatever it is in the field, so that you don't have to necessarily name a number. But I think that you should go in there definitely expecting to get paid what the value of the job is, especially if it is a promotion. Mm-hmm. You have most of the skills, like you said, and you now have a master's degree. So if you are thinking about the salary that you have now holding you back, this is a whole different job. You know, it's a step up, probably more responsibility. What may help you feel more confident going in and asking for your value is to find comparable roles at comparable companies. Those are the two comps. You want to have similar company and a similar role, and see what types of salaries they're offering as well. And then again, think of them as an outside employer who doesn't necessarily know your current salary, mm-hmm. and negotiate from that space. It's not about what you're earning now. It's about the market value. Excuse me. It's about the market value of a candidate for this specific role that you're applying for. So don't go in there thinking 123 vibes. Think 156, okay? Mm-hmm. Think high. And you also know that you're not probably just making 123. You also have to factor in your annual bonus on top of that. You know, so don't forget that you can still negotiate those types of things, like your annual bonus amount. If they offer you equity at your company, you should still feel confident negotiating equity when you get to that point. Like, you've just applied now and you put in your salary expectation, which is cool. Now the key is everything that's going to happen before the negotiation, which is you really want to make them excited to hire you. You already know the company, but what other strengths do you bring to the table? Like, how well do you understand the challenges, the pain points of the team that you're joining? Do you have any connections on that team already that you can build on those relationships? You want them to think of you as a no-brainer, you know, so that by the time you get to the negotiation or the offer stage, they want you so bad that when you come back to them and like, hey, 140 is cute, but what about 156? Mm-hmm. That they're like, okay, we really want Nelly, you know, so let's make this happen. That's essential for you at this point. But before you get there, you got to get your mindset right around this is a whole different employer, mm-hmm. even though it's with the same company, whole different team. You're not in the same role that you have now. You're not making 123 in this new role. It's a whole different ball game. So start to think that way and don't get in your own way.
I like that. And I'm just like, as someone who employs and oftentimes typically will promote from within, you know, I like most employers are going to want to look within if someone is good, because it's like, you don't have to learn the company culture. I don't have to like kind of talk talk to you about, like, and teach you about what we do here. So know that, like, that's a benefit, you know, to be able, you know, to looking to work internally. But also sometimes the problem is like, the prodigal son, right? The person who leaves and comes back gets, like, better treatment than the person who stayed. So don't be afraid either to, like, be like, it's seeming like they, you know, they treat me like old news. Maybe I need to be made new again. You know, so if you're needing, if you wanted to make more, consider that too. But I just say this, that I have people on my team that are just so excellent. Like, are you bringing obvious excellence to the table? Not just you're doing well, but you're visibly doing well. You know, there are people who, like, even now, there's a woman on one of my teams that I want to bring on over to the Budgetista. She's on the Literature Academy team. Shout out to you, Akeisha, girl. We come to get you. She's amazing. Like, you know, it just started with, you know, us contracting her to do a few things here and there. And I was just blown away about what she delivered. Logan was like, what we got to do to get her, you know?
And what did she do?
Project management. But she's just excellent. She's one of those people that, like, you know, it just is going to see the thing all the way through. Akeisha works really hard, but also smart and strategically. She's a like a great team player, like easy to get along with. She project managed project. So her first project management thing that I had her do was she helped me with the Get Good With Money launch. That was a huge project to entrust to someone. And it was like 15 of us working on Get Good With Money. And it was getting to be overwhelming for me to manage everyone. So I said, I heard through the grapevine, because we used to have our weekly chats when I was the CEO of the academy. I heard through the grapevine that Akeisha was interested in project management and just wanted to test it out. And I said, well, I have a huge test for you. Try Get Good With Money on the Budgetista side. And she was like, are you sure? I said, well, one, all 11 people on the Get Good With Money team are hard workers. So the project management component is not, you're not, you don't have to manage and motivate them. These are great people. I cherry picked everyone on the team. So that was one. You just have to keep us all organized. And she was excellent. And I was like, hold up. I want Akeisha for myself. So me and Tam had to tussle. Like, oh, I want Akeisha. So I won. And so, yeah, so I'll be making her. I mean, I don't even know if Akeisha listens, but yeah, girl, I'll be making you an offer soon because we talked about it already. But I'm just saying all that to say, when you are excellent, a space is always made for you at the table. So I'm sure you're bringing excellence to the table in an obvious way, because it'll make people say, we cannot lose, you know, Nelly. So good luck to you, girl. Keep us updated.
That's such a perfect point to make. Yeah. I talked to a coaching client this morning all the way in Australia. Shout out to Nicole. It was 10:30 her time, 10:30 a.m. my time. And she's going through a similar thing. She's applying for a senior role at her company. And I had to remind her how incredibly beneficial it is that people already know her. Like, she has brand recognition exactly where she is. And she, I feel like sometimes we take ourselves for granted at work, and we forget, like, we don't, or no one tells us, but there's so much value in having a great reputation, colleagues wanting to work with you, that plus you can teach skills, you can teach how to do this, how to do that to a certain extent, right? So if you're meeting most of the qualifications, not all of them, and people know and love you and will vouch for you, and, you know, endorse you, that is so key. And that gives you such a huge advantage over external candidates. So yeah, it's just about building your own confidence, Nelly, in that you have a lot going for you, already understanding the inner workings of this company. And even though I want to know like 12,000 more things about the situation, I just want you to go in again feeling strong. And to Tiffany's point about sometimes if you are missing out on opportunities and you're not being valued where you are, because that unfortunately is often the case, use this as a litmus test to see, okay, do I have growth potential at this company? And if this promotion does not work out, or you don't get the support that you feel like you need, well, at least you explored that option, and you should feel no ounce of guilt for looking outside of the company, you know, for new opportunities. Sometimes they got to really fear losing you to really respect and value you, which is unfortunate, but it's up to you to, you know, assert your value in that way. So I hope this works out for you, but I'm just saying, even if it don't, there's other paths ahead of you as well. And they don't have to be, you know, feeling stuck or stagnant where you currently are.
Yeah. But keep us updated, Nelly. We'd love to learn, to hear like what happened. If you have a question, BA fam, ask away. We're the BA Podcast on Twitter. We are Brown Ambition Podcast on IG, brownambitionpodcast.com, where we have like a ask us anything button. And, What is it, the Gmail again? Brown Ambition Podcast at gmail.com?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you can always Gmail us too. ask us your questions about business. Maybe you are an entrepreneur, career, money, and more. Y más. See, that's a little Spanish there.
Y todo.
So yeah, until next week, BA fam. We love y'all. Bye.
Bye. Hey, BA fam, we could not do this show without your support or the support of our team behind the scenes. The Brown Ambition podcast is produced by Imani Crosby, and Dennis Stemplinski is our in-house tech guru. I am your co-host, Mandy Woodruff Santos, and we will see y'all next week, BA fam.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.